The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. She's back.
She's back.
She's back and causing mayhem. She's been twirling around the studio all morning, flashing off her skinny body.
Yeah, far too cocky, aren't I? I have to say, I'm pursing my lips. Look.
Why are you pursing your lips?
Pursing my lips because I've only been...
You haven't had that duck stuff, have you?
Oh, no.
You haven't had that Botox or what is it?
No,
lip filler?
No.
What is it? What
no.
is it they stuff
I
in their lips?
I saw a lady...
What do they put in their lips? What is it?
Filler.
Is it? Polyfiller.
Polyfiller.
Okay.
I did... You're taking me off because I want to tell you about my pursed lips.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to talk over you.
You are. But I did see a lady. It was very sad.
You saw a lady?
I saw a lady.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
She was a lady.
Yeah.
Who had that... sticking out upper lip. What is that?
I mean,
I'm behind
duck lips.
What? No, but more than a not the normal trout pout.
Right.
Her lip was poking out, like going round corners before she did. It was, and I said to my new husband, I said, "Why are women doing that to themselves? It's very, very sad." Is that what you mean by duck lip?
No, I just wondered what you were talking about when you were moaning about your lips.
I'm
that was all.
My lips. I haven't even got lipstick on because I've been out since the crack.
You've been
out. Well, I've been to the William Harvey.
You've been.
It's our age, isn't it, darling?
Yeah,
all we do is hospital appointments.
Yeah, we have a season ticket to the hospital.
Yeah. No, I'm pursed lips. I've missed one show in 15 years.
No, get out of it.
Well,
You've missed one show in the last 3 months, yeah?
One show, and you've already swiped me off the jingle. That was just Paul Andrews. You've swiped me off in 1 week.
No.
Yeah.
Were you on the jingle before? I don't think you were.
No.
I don't think I've
yes,
ever...
Yes, I've always been on the jingle. Well...
No, not always.
Oh,
I know what it is.
Yeah, you've swapped it.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I told you this. See, she doesn't... Bjorn, she doesn't pay a blind bit of attention to anything I tell her. I told her all this when she arrived. I said, things have changed since last week, Jules.
What, so you swiped me off?
Things have changed since last week, Jules.
Exits the studio in a huff.
Yeah, and this is why they've changed, yeah? But she completely ignored that, yeah? Why she just rattled on about how skinny she is now. And
you know why I ignored it? Because I was too busy making all your herbal teas that you're on now.
Yeah, she's offered me magic mushroom tea.
Coffee. It's a coffee substitute.
It's coffee, is it?
I'll bring it in next week. I'll whisk it up. If only you'd have coconut milk. It's much nicer.
She's a witch.
Yeah.
She's a witch and she has potions.
I've got all my little things. But anyway, why have you changed me off then?
Oh, you want me to explain again on air?
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the systems that we were using to do the show before have now been removed because we're moving studios, aren't we?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got it in
and
a,
I said to you, they've
you've
all
got
been
it all
taken
in a briefcase.
Out. Yeah, it's in a paper bag somewhere.
Under your arm. Okay. Well, my rant of the week at Business Bunker was I had a lovely time. I went up to Salford, I say, but they say Salford, which is all wrong because you're up north where they say Bath and things, but then they say Salford.
This is Jules lecturing people on place names when she can't even tell you the place names in the county she
Egerton
and Rotham. Yeah, you know, I mean, good grief.
It's all Elizabethan. Anyway,
so you're in Salford, Greater Manchester.
I went there and saw a lovely Adrian Heald, who's amazing. So he gives me my NDT, which just makes me so perky. So,
right, yeah.
I told you
she's a witch. She buys all these potions in, like Eye of Toad and Wing of Bat and stuff like that. And she hangs them in her little... coven.
So this is pig's thyroid I have, which is T4 and T3. Anyone that goes to the gym will know about T3.
Right.
It gives you a bit of oomph.
Does it?
But yeah, I waited 25 years to get that on the NHS. I had to buy it for myself for 6 years.
Right.
Anyway, now go all the way up to Salford or Salford to get it on the National Health, because you can't get it in Kent for some reason. Anyway, then we went to Cheshire. I love Cheshire because we're quite near, and we stayed in Cheshire. And I said to the new husband, it's a really nice town, beautiful city. And we did the walk. There's a big walk around
Chester.
Cheshire. Oh, yeah, Chester. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't walk around the whole county.
No, I was going to.
You're good, aren't you?
I thought I'd quantify that.
I haven't had my lion's mane this morning.
Oh, that'll be why. Otherwise, you would have walked the whole county line. Yeah,
so we walked all the way around the Chester.
Yeah.
We got the park and ride. The park and ride is amazing. Canterbury Council are listening.
Is it a chariot? See, Chester was a Roman city. You'd think they'd do chariot rides or something.
That's why I had a little haunch when I was a little haunch of venison.
You had a haunch, did you?
Through over my shoulder.
Yeah.
So I wore a toga all the time.
Yeah, well, you would, is the law.
It was.
Yeah.
And a little crown of whatever they have.
little crown of
leaves. Roman leaves.
Roman leaves, yeah, okay.
With my toga.
Yeah.
Walking round, and the park and ride was £1.25 return.
Right, well, where did you go to?
Chester Zoo.
Did you just get on the park and ride for the sake of it, or were you actually parked somewhere, going somewhere?
No, I was going into, Chester.
Right. Yeah. From where?
From Chester Zoo. I got on at Chester Zoo. I didn't go in the zoo. I got on at Chester Zoo.
Why were you at Chester Zoo? I need to know these things.
No, that's where the park and ride starts. Into Chester.
But where were you? So did you drive 20 miles to the start of the park and ride
to
get a bus for a mile? I mean, I'm trying to work out your logic
here. Honestly, yeah. You've got me down some rabbit hole.
Yeah.
No, I stayed in a little spa hotel. I can't remember what it was called. I had to take some roast
beef. Near Chester Zoo?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, about 15 minutes away.
Oh, so you had to get
very nice.
So you had to get
You
drove to the park and ride. Okay, that's all I was trying to work out.
Asked. Yeah. And you know what I took with me, because I'm on this
car.
I'm on this sort of, I don't know, you called it keto. So I'm on this diet to sort my gut out after the AstraZeneca injury.
Yeah.
Which is my 3-year anniversary of being jabbed today.
Is it really?
Yeah, Canterbury Cinema. So I will be celebrating in some way later. I'm going to be positive about it. To adhere to the diet, of course, it's a 6-hour drive. Hax has fallen asleep already.
I'm not surprised. So has everyone else.
Hax, to adhere to this very strict diet, because Christine Bickley, she's my nutritionist, she's been very, very helpful, but she's quite strict, you know. I said, can I have carrot? She said, no, they're a root vegetable. Can I have potato? No. Can I have beetroot? I love beetroot. Can I have a kiwi? No.
What can you have?
Okay, so I cooked a little joint of roast beef at home.
No, I'm talking vegetables.
Hang on, let me tell you about my beef. So I cooked that, and I did it in lovely spices, Cape Malay.
Ooh,
Hax might know. Rub it in, and I sliced it, and I literally ate that for 5 hours, going down with it, then followed by a Granny Smith, a green apple. But at home, I eat really well.
So far, there's a remarkable lack of vegetables there.
Yeah, because you can't eat broccoli and that in a car. I'm allowed green vegetables.
Right.
Yeah, lots of them.
Right.
Broccoli, cabbage.
Peas.
Yeah, I don't really do many
beans.
Legumes. Yeah, not baked beans. They're full of sugar.
Fair to say that it's vegetables above the ground.
Yes.
Because they're sugar rich in below the ground.
Yes, yeah. You're right. Mm. Anyone that's interested, I'll put them through. Christine Bickley on the Twitter is at Bickley, BICKLEY 200. She's amazing. She is amazing. She's really helped me with my supplements.
Cool.
But long story short.
Really?
When we got to, where was I? Chester. On a £1.25 return, which I thought was marvellous.
Was that a park and ride?
Yeah.
Did you get it from Chester Zoo?
Yeah.
A nice one.
And back.
And where did you go? Or just did you go around Chester Zoo?
We didn't go to the zoo. We walked all the way around. The thing about a zoo is you want...
No, hold on.
You want grandchildren, don't you, to go to the zoo? I haven't got any grandchildren yet. So that's what you want. I said to my new husband.
You got the park and ride from Chester Zoo to where?
To Chester. I've said that.
Chester's a city.
Yeah, we went to the city.
Did it go to the whole of the city?
Yeah,
didn't go anywhere in specific.
I walked all around the Roman Wall, which I already told you if you've listened.
Right.
And walked all the way around, and then got it the car, park and ride back, and then dived in.
Well,
the
that's handy because your car was back there, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dived in the spa. It was a lovely spa hotel. Met lots of nice people.
Because you could have gone back to Salford on the bus, but then you'd have been a bit stuffed, wouldn't you? Because your car would have been at Chester Zoo.
Salford Royal is huge. It's like a city, and it's like anyway. I was saying. Yeah. If Canterbury City Council are listening, £1.25 return, excellent. So then we're going through this.
Have you seen, just on that, the new Canterbury City Council have scrapped the stupid 15-minute zone thing.
Have they?
Yep, they've scrapped it all, and they are reinvesting in park and ride.
Oh, what, the Sturry one as well that they were closing?
I don't know the details. There is a plan on the website, but I just saw a lovely lady called Connie, who's one of the councillors, had tweeted the other day that they've scrapped all that nonsense and they're going to park and ride and improving the bus services around Canterbury.
As they should, because they don't want us to drive too much, so we need to have cheap or even free transport, I would have thought. anyway, the bugbear I had was the 20-mile-an-hour zones in North Wales, because we went, it's really near the border. We were 4 miles from North Wales where we were, and North Wales is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And did you see my picture of the nanny goat?
I did.
Isn't it marvellous, up on a mountain, absolutely, just skipping about with its baby?
Yeah.
So the nanny goat jumped up on this wall. It's incredible, Hacks, to watch them. I mean, you're a wildlife photographer, but the way they just hop, and really steep mountain, it's just, you know, nipping about on it, and you'd think it would fall off, but it doesn't. And then the baby had obviously never gone up a wall, so the mum just stood there on the wall with its hands on its hips and said, come on. And it made three attempts, and then it got up there. It was very sweet. But the 20-mile-an-hour... is crazy, because it was an empty road and the new husband was driving and he was nodding off almost because you're not reactive. You're no longer reactive. We've all done our driving test.
Have we?
We have. We know the zones. We know when it's 30 and traffic lights, it used to be. And you know, when it's 60 and 70, you can go 60 miles an hour on these windy bends, which are really dangerous coming from Whitstable that I do. I take my life in my hands every Tuesday.
I think it's everybody else really.
Do you?
Yeah.
I was behind a lorry this morning and that was hogging the whole, kept us, you know, yeah. But anyway, 20 mile an hour, fine in a busy high street, but not everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're spending a lot of money on these signs.
I saw your tweet about road signs as well.
Yeah, everywhere.
I think the potholes are worse.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. But anyway, so good to be back.
We've got potholes that are so deep in Tenterton that when they fill up with water, they sell the fishing rights.
Well, and it would be very useful as a reservoir, because as you know, the minute we have a bit of sunshine, there's a little water hose ban.
Absolutely.
What's it called? Hose pipe ban. That's
him.
I mean.
Yeah. Right. Enough
Should
of
we
that.
Introduce guests?
Huh?
Should we introduce guests?
Yeah, go on. Why don't you?
Well, I've got to look them up. I've forgotten.
Don't know who it is now, do you? See, she wants to introduce you, but she doesn't know who you are. Yeah.
So we've got, obviously, Hacks, filmmaker, who's been on our show quite a lot. And it's also, I've had a few drinks with him in the past, as have you, but yours have been teetotal.
Yeah.
Mine haven't. So Hacks Prisma Broadcast. That's why I need to read it, because, you know, he changes things now and then.
Yeah.
You can follow him on the Twitter, HAX, filmmaker, does what it says on the tin. He's a filmmaker. And he'll be telling you later, because he's got some new plans.
Hacks is the first guest on. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got Bjorn Haynes and Steve Wigley. Steve's next to me, flanking me. And it's on the Twitter, the AAC Group Limited. See, you wanted me to remember all that.
Yeah, what's it stand for?
It's Air Conditioning Supply and Installation.
Now, what does AAC stand for?
No,
you're making it up. You're making
close.
Air and conditioning.
No. Ashford. It's Ashford Air Conditioning.
Ashford.
She tried really hard to. She tried really hard to blag that, didn't she?
You're so cruel. You really are.
I know. It could have been Aardvark.
Yeah. Never it could have been. It could have been anything. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for sitting
with us. We're going to be hearing from Stephen Bjorn in the second half of the show.
Air conditioning supply and installation, commercial and domestic. Mm-hmm. And you can find them on the Twitter. Please follow them. AAC Group Limited.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good. Do you want to quickly read a tweet, or shall I read a tweet? Because we've got quite a few tweets coming in.
Sarah Marsh Collins, my co-presenter when you swan off to Francais, says, sounding very chipper today, guys. What she means is you're curmudgeonly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not...
Yeah, that's why she said chipper.
Yeah.
Because she really meant curmudgeonly.
Yeah, I don't think he's chipper. I think he's curmudgeonly. Anyway, great to have you back, Jules Serkin, although there was a diamond on last week, Sparkling, who did a sparkling diamond job.
That would be Julie.
I haven't listened in, but I will do. I was talking pink tutus with Sean Riley at Cannes Market yesterday. Apparently, you met him during an A&E visit. No, was that me or you?
No.
Have you met Sean Riley?
I know Sean Riley.
Did you meet him at A&E?
I think I probably did, actually, yeah.
Well, we spend our whole life at A&E now. So, yeah, hello, Sarah. I expect your dogs are muddy now at the moment. My dog is very muddy.
Michael Park Surveyors have been on. Looking forward to listening to the Business Bunker radio show today. It's the highlight of our week. Well, thank you so much, folks.
Poor Devils is the highlight.
Yeah. They live very sad lives. It's Michael Park Surveyors. They're commercial property surveyors based in Rochester, covering the southeast of England, looking at commercial properties.
And, of course, Tracy Ferguson. And she's been just holding one of her creative workshops.
She has, indeed.
At your gaff in Shipping.
Island Works, yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Did you go?
I didn't, no.
I thought you normally go for the toasties and then a little bit of art.
Maybe.
So she's going to be doing another one. And you can follow her by going to on
Tazzy
the Twitter.
64.
Thank you, Tazzy 64. Exactly. It's just what I was going to say.
Kim Stevens, Karen Kent lady. Morning. I really like a Business Bunker shout out today, please. Do you or your loved ones need care at home? If so, give us a contact. Their email is info@caringkent.co.uk and their website is also careinkent.co.uk. That's the lovely Kim Stevens offering in-home care services. Are you going to do any work, or you know?
I'm just tweeting, actually. Spinajet, the lovely, very handsome Dan Juby. But I was going to read something, which is quite interesting. Will that upset you if I read something?
Yeah, get on with it then.
Okay, so achieving zero food waste has helped a specialist manufacturer of air-dried fruit and vegetable crisps. Oh, I think this is lovely, Neem's.
Oh, it's Neem, yeah.
Yeah, launched
Neem's crisps.
Yeah, she was on my show when she first started.
Yeah.
Launched new products and enjoy a near 20% boost in turnover. Neem's uses over 600 tons of fresh produce every year, and 95% of that is classed as rescued or wonky.
Wonky.
Just looking at you. And wouldn't be sold on the show, especially in the morning. Wouldn't be sold on the shelves of supermarkets across the country. The Sittingbourne-based company, which employs 18 people, has developed a process that means all this fruit and veg is used in its range of crisps, drinks, garnishes, and edible teas.
I saw someone waxing lyrical about jacket potatoes that have been air fried and how good they are.
Oh, I must try that.
Have you ever? Have you not tried?
I can try it when I finish my 90-day protocol.
Let me know.
I will. I use my air fryer most days, mostly for bacon.
Chips and dinks have been on.
I was going to finish this.
Oh, go on.
Interrupted.
Then.
It's your
go
press
on,
release.
Come on, running out of time. It's nearly the end of the show.
Investing $30,000 into a new machine, a machina. In Italian.
Is that it?
Yeah. To offer bespoke formats, including fruit and veg powders. And they've also unlocked a host of new ingredients and garnishes. And this covers apples, pineapple, pears, watermelons, and all citrus fruits. And can be used to flavour alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks at the point of manufacture, as well as used in bars, pubs, and hotels at the point of making serving cocktails. And they're now incorporating into baking and cake decorations and by restaurants when garnishing dishes. So well done, Neem's fruit teas and everything that do, and they're based in Sittingbourne. Give them a follow.
Fantastic.
Finish now.
Should we have some cheesy tunage?
Yeah.
This is quite a long version of this track, actually. Do you know what it is?
Sounds nice.
Do you know what it is?
Sounds yet? Whimsical.
Do you know? It is whimsical. Do you know what it is yet?
Well, no, it's whimsical. Sounds like something out of Africa or jungle, tropics,
no.
Arty.
Mm.
Arty Farty.
It is.
Would I know him?
Yeah.
Does he sing or she?
They, yeah.
They?
Yeah.
I don't recognise it at all.
No, yeah. Jungle.
It is a remastered version, I have to admit.
Oh, give me... that's the same as Give Me Your Money, isn't it?
No.
Art for art's sake, isn't it?
It's a cheesy tune. It's art for art's sake.
Give
Get
me
a grip.
Your money. I was singing it. Yeah. Hence DC.
Hey, 10cc, art for art's sake.
Classy tunage.
See what I did there?
Yeah, classy tunage.
That was a revamped version of it as well.
Yeah, I've never heard that intro with the jungly bit.
I just thought it was a clever bit on the front there.
That was good.
And that's in homage to our first guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Hax.
Hello.
Known by everybody as Hax, so we're going to carry on with that. Hax, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you very much.
Hax is a filmmaker and, artist is kind of the word that we're looking for, really, isn't it? Because the reason for art for art's sake is because Hax has got something special he's going to tell us about in a minute. But let's kick off. Just tell people a bit about your background first, Hax, what it is you do, and more importantly, why you've come armed to the studio with weapons.
Absolutely. Little talking points. Well, I run a company called Prisma Broadcast here in Ashford, and we help businesses communicate better using video and video frameworks.
Right.
But I've started off back in the day as a stills photographer, and I had a studio in Bermondsey Street, London, for 20 odd years, and we were shooting catalogue and bits and pieces. And today I've come to talk about a little show that I'm putting on with an artist colleague of mine, Liz Harwood, a very talented oil painter. And she, funnily enough, actually is the reason behind my abbreviation to Hax.
Is she really?
Yeah, she was the one that actually inspired me to term that as kind of my own personal branding.
Right.
And back in 2004, when I was doing my first exhibition in then in the Canary Islands, we sat in a cafe working about how I was going to call or what the title would be and how I was going to represent my work. And on the back of a napkin, very cliched, we wrote the word Hax. Because as a photographer, my assistants always used to abbreviate my surname, which is Hacker, to Hax. But they used to spell it H-A-C-K-S.
Right.
Well, she said, let's shorten it. Let's just put it H-A-X. And that was the birth of Hax.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, cool.
Yes. Mm. So we're putting a little bit of a show on.
Mm.
On the 21st of March in Ashford, 25 Bank Street, with my some of my photography and some of her oil paintings.
Okay, cool. Subject, I see. I happen to know, because I know you quite well, that you have roots in Africa.
I do.
So maybe you'd tell us about that in a moment. And I notice you've got a book. Is it Matabele Land?
No, it's actually a book called Through Maasai Land.
Okay.
Yes, I do have connections. My family, my great-grandfather moved to Africa from the States. And, so we're four-generation family in Kenya.
Right.
And back in 2007, I did an expedition through Maasai land, which was following the footsteps of an early Scottish explorer who travelled through East Africa through Maasai land in 1884. He was commissioned by the Royal Geographical Society. His name was Joseph Thompson.
Okay.
Thompson after the Thompson Gazelle, or the Thompson Gazelle is named after
not
him.
Not the Thompson twins, then.
No, not the right, Thompson twins, yes. So I re-stepped his journey. And actually made a documentary for the History Channel with it, and then this is the coffee table book, which resulted in the
hold it up for
a
me,
small
Hax.
Collection of photographs that I took on the journey, which was about 3,500 photographs I took on that journey.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yes. So, long story cut short, when you're building a business, you kind of put childish things away, I guess, and as a result I put my stills cameras and my all my old photos and whatever into boxes, and I just didn't bother showing anybody anything because I was busy developing the business and being a filmmaker. And then Liz and I were having, last year we were having a barbecue together, and she said, when was the last time you did an exhibition? So I said, well, that would have been in London in 2011. So she said, well, it's high time that we changed that. So I did. I basically went back to my storage place and just pulled out all of my negatives and my transparencies and my digital files and whatever. And I've been going through them for the last few weeks, or actually a couple of months, with a view to putting this little exhibition together on the 21st.
Okay. So where's it taking place and what's the details?
25 Bank Street. It's SG Studios. It's a photographic studio, and we've kind of like sort of hired the place.
Right.
It's only for one night, or one day, as it were. It's doors open at 4 o'clock, and we'll probably close at about 8. And we're just going to show our work, and it's just going to be the launch of possibly another branch of me. Again.
Okay. Very popular these days. My place in Sheerness, Island Works, we've just had a whole week's art gallery event take place, which was absolutely rammed. People came in from all over the place to see it. Very popular. So we're thinking of doing another one. So if you want to do one, Hacks,
I'd love to.
Yeah, we'll do that. No problem at all. Give us a flavour for the type of work that you're going to be exhibiting.
Well, Liz also paints. She's been to Africa as well. She doesn't come from Africa, but she's been there.
And what does she paint? The animals or the scenery? Or?
She's doing, for the show, she's doing a collection of landscapes, some tribal stuff.
Beautiful.
At the moment, no animals, but it's early days. She's a prolific painter, so she might well produce something for the show. Mm. But yes, her colours are very thematic around Africa. So we chose the controversial title, A Dark Continent, celebrated in or exploring light texture, basically it's really a celebration of Africa and our experiences of Africa.
Mm. It's such a beautiful country, and it's so different, isn't it, as you travel through. I mean, I've been to Namibia, which I struggle saying for some reason, and the light in Namibia, I mean, for someone like you, is just stunning. We drove through the
Absolutely.
Desert on our own.
Absolutely.
And the wildlife we saw was just astounding. And then you'll go to Botswana, you know, they're very different, aren't they?
100%, 100%.
So what's your favourite part of Africa?
Well, I come from East Africa, so I guess that's my most favourite. But I've just had a trip down to Morocco, actually, and I found Marrakesh and around there absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
It was the first time I've been onto the continent of Africa for a few years. It was just a lovely trip, and I came back with some lovely photographs, which
and rose cream and carpets.
No,
from somebody's uncle.
Didn't bring anybody anything like that. But I mean, you could go and spend a fortune in the souks in Morocco. I have to say,
and the food is.
I love the food.
Did you have tagine?
Street food, definitely.
Oh, yeah, the street food is amazing.
Yeah.
And even just the noise, I always think, you know, the minute I land in Africa, the noise, the sound, and I mean, I know Cape Town quite well.
It's the smells for me.
Yeah.
Smells and the birds.
Yeah.
The sound of the birds and everything. Mm. It all triggers.
Mm. What are those? I've forgotten what they're called. The little warthogs that go down on their elbows to eat.
They are warthogs.
They are warthogs, yeah.
Yeah. I love those. So they go down on their elbows, don't they?
Little pumbas.
Yeah. And then those huge nests that you find in the trees. Massive nests. And I can't remember what that bird is. I've got loads of pictures.
Well, there are a couple of birds that build very big nests. But the most interesting one is the hammercop. Mm. And it's a small little brown bird with a very long beak, but he builds a two-compartment, or she builds a two-compartment gigantic nest in trees, yes.
Mm. Amazing. So this book, did you take the photographs for
it? Yes. Yep.
Okay, and did you write, has it got...
The book, all the writing and the photographs are all mine.
So you copyright...
And I also quote a lot of the passages from Thompson's own book that he wrote in 1884.
Have you got a copy of Thompson's book as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got one of the original ones.
And how does your book differ from Thompson's?
Well,
apart from being newer.
In 1884, he took photographs, but they were all glass plate. So sadly, very, very few of them have survived. The Royal Geographical Society in London have got a few plates
left. Would they look like sepia?
Or? Yes, there'd be sepia. Mm. They were all shot on a glass plate. So, and photography in 1884 was very, very new, really.
Yeah.
Only less than 50 years old. So it was a brand new medium then.
Mm. So do you get to go to Africa much now? Or?
Yes, I do. I still have family out there who run high-end safari destinations in the Masai Mara and also in Tanzania.
Many years ago, I learnt to pilot a hot air balloon.
Oh, yes.
And a chap that taught me, Mac, I used to do hot air balloon trips across the Serengeti,
yeah.
Which I always kind of fancied doing as well, but never got round to doing.
Yeah. I've been lucky enough to be on one twice. Once filming for a documentary, and another one just as a touroid, as right. it were. And it's most beautiful. There's something really graceful about floating over Africa about 100 feet with absolutely no sound,
yeah.
apart from the occasional burn.
Burn, yeah.
Just to keep you elevated off the
yeah.
ground.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
But Africa is a
until you try and land.
Well. Yes.
What do you bump? Do you bump down?
Yeah. I had a few experiences landing a hot air balloon.
Although I have to say, the second time I flew, which was for pleasure, the pilot actually landed on the back of a flatbed truck.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's some skill.
Yeah, very, very skillful pilot.
Well, I landed a hot air balloon with 12 people in it. In the countryside in Suffolk, on the corner of the basket, at which 6 people fell out immediately. We then bounced over a hedge and landed on the other corner in the middle of a road, and bounced over that and landed in a cow field, in which the other 6 people fell out. Having discarded 12 people from the basket, it then had no weight at all, so shot up in the air again. Yeah.
With you at the controls?
With me in there on my own. Yeah. Good fun. Cool. I know that you wanted to talk about your exhibition, and quite rightly too, and, you know, we're interested in doing some more of that. But I just want to say that one of the things you did a while back, I used to really love, and I followed it on a regular basis, was you were trawling around on your motorcycle, doing videos, yes. and I loved those. Yeah.
Well, I've actually been urged to do some more, so when the weather starts to improve, I'll get back on. We worked out how to get good audio using a helmet, a microphone in a helmet.
Right.
And the bike that I've got is a chopper, so it kind of... You have to ride it with an open helmet, really, just to look cool.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, well, if I'm going to talk to the camera, which is a GoPro strapped on the front, then people want to see my lips move. So being hidden behind a full face helmet kind of was a challenge. So we worked out, it took us a bit of experimentation, but we got it to work. So as I'm riding along, I can actually talk to camera.
Right.
And although it's a microphone, it's mildly muffled. There's no real wind sound and whatever, so I can actually have a conversation.
So
it was nice.
We enjoyed
doing it, and we got a very good reaction from it.
Absolutely. And I think I saw all of them and was fascinated by it. So what was the bike?
The bike is actually a Kawasaki 900.
Right.
Why did you say chopper then? I've got confused.
It's been converted. It's 18 inches longer than stock because it's got a slightly shallower yoke on it, so the wheel is slightly more ahead of.
And
I remember the chopper bikes.
It's like that. It's
and
a motorcycle.
Their handles.
Yeah. It's got 8 hangers or monkey. Yeah, monkey. Yeah, what did you? I can't remember.
Well, these have got 12-inch
eight hangers.
On it.
Yeah.
Simply because the guy that I bought it, who customized it, he was 6'6".
Wow.
And he used straight bars.
Right.
But I wasn't tall enough to sit on because it's a single seat bike, to sit on the bike, put my feet onto the gear change as well as a foot brake.
Were they raked up as well?
No, they were kind of standard, but whatever. Yeah. But the handlebars was very much more forward.
Yeah.
So, and I couldn't reach and control the bike, so I thought, well, I'm just going to put some you know, some
get some stilts,
12-inch 8-bars on it. Yes, it's a lovely bike to ride, and it turns heads because it's got a custom paint job, which is basically rust that's been it's been taken back to a rust. The guy put Coca-Cola all over the metalwork and let it get rust for 3 or 4 days, and then he lacquered it. So right, okay. It's just
that
got this dripping rust look on it. Okay. And then he's had Japanese writing, and it actually says antisocial on it in Japanese writing in gold leaf. It does look very nice, I have to say.
It does sound good. Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you about Tanzania, because I've not been, and I've got a girlfriend, a journalist, who lives in Zanzibar. So Zanzibar is now on my bucket list. Have you been to Zanzibar?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thompson started his journey in Stone Town. So that's where he was. And it's where Livingstone's body was taken back from having died, and then before it was shipped back to England.
Because apparently they're talking about building a bridge from Tanzania over to Zanzibar, which I think will be great, you know.
It should be, but
maybe not.
Again, it'll
be a holiday destination.
It'll popularise the island even more than it is. Mm. But Stone Town's lovely, beautiful old town with lots and lots of history.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So she's setting up sort of an eco-village, health village, and it's all self-sufficient. So I'll put you in touch with her.
Yes,
her name's Sally Beck, and I'll put you in touch with her.
Cool. I'm a bit distracted because I've got something going on over here, technically. It doesn't involve you lot, but...
I was going to ask you about your studio at home, going off-piste a bit.
No, just before you do, sorry to interrupt, just before you do.
Because hand has come out.
I know Hacks didn't come here to talk about this, but I'm trying to blag him into doing more of these because I really, really enjoyed it. Just give us an overview of what you were doing on the bike when you were doing these videos.
Oh, you're such a petrolhead. Yes.
I know.
Yeah, go on, talk about bikes.
I vlog anyway. I've got my own YouTube channel, and basically we go around looking for interesting stories and so forth. But the particular series you're referring to are what we did for the business, and they're kind of trigger points, and they're entitled Just Asking. So we would ask key questions about a business and you know, what would be, in other words, do your marketing and your sales teams talk? And if so, what you know, how do they support each other?
Right.
Just asking.
Right.
So it was a tiny, but it did lead to conversations afterwards, because, believe it or not, so many, we had a big conversation with a company yesterday, so many companies don't have a streamlined enough conversation with their marketing and their sales, because their sales don't deliver back to marketing what their sales objections are. So there's no communication or forethought or planning as to how marketing can preempt objections, and this is it's a very popular problem with small organisations.
When they don't talk to each other.
All right, Jules, you can now ask Hacks what you were going to ask him.
I was going to say now. No, I do know what I was going to say. So going back to your studio, I hope you noticed, Hacks, that I gave you the nearest mug I could find to a zebra in honour of Africa. I searched the whole cupboard. But at home, do you have a dark room?
No.
So you're not as old school as that anymore.
I've had a dark room.
Because you were talking about negatives, I think.
Yes, yeah. So I've had a dark room. I've done all the processing. I used to process all my own black and white film and so forth.
So how has it moved on now from dark rooms?
It's all digital now.
Okay.
And as long as you've got good... I've got an excellent professional scanner, so I can scan negatives and transparencies and artwork and whatever, and as long as you get the right settings, then you can bring it into Photoshop. That's our main platform, Lightroom and Photoshop, and you can adjust it, manipulate it, build it. And then there's a rule of thumb: when you take something to be printed as an art form, there's a set of steps that you go through to make sure that it's print ready for the printer.
Yeah.
And then they can print on all sorts of art paper and so forth.
So it strikes me that your passion, aside from the art, is that you really enjoy doing documentaries, the fact that you vlog. You're really still keeping your filmmaker roots, aren't you?
Well, I guess I've always been a creative. That's what started I mean, without really complicating it too much, I was quite interested in the submersible industry. And when I was a schoolboy, I wanted to go to university and study submersible engineering for the oil industry. Well, but I failed miserably because wine, women and song got in the way. And I didn't get the right aggregate of score to get into Strathclyde University. So they said, we'll go back and take your maths and physics again. And if you can get these levels, then we'll accept you next year. So in order to go back, in Sussex at the time, in order to get a grant to do that again, I had to take three subjects. And I scratched around, thought, what subject do I take? So I decided to take photography, because photography was always interested. When I grew up with some very, very talented photographers, Peter Beard, Herb Ritz and other people like that.
Herb Ritz, I've heard of.
Yeah, they kind of were my influence. So, and I loved their work. So I started doing photography, and all of a sudden, just the creativeness just started to really appeal.
So did you do...
Very quickly, engineering...
Fizzled out.
Shine, and I just pursued photography.
I'm so glad. But with photography, so this was a while ago, you presumably were a camera. What were you using? A Nikon or a
Nikon's,
Canon?
Nikon's, Hasselblad's, Mamiya's.
Wow, you had a Hasselblad.
And, yeah, 5-4 plate cameras and whatever. Because we, in the studio, we did a lot of catalogue work, a lot of advertising and design orientated work for brochures and catalogues. Mm.
And so, are you on Instagram, for example? I'm sure you are.
I've just opened a new Instagram account, and it's called hacks.photoart.
Brilliant.
And that's my Instagram photography one, but I am Hacks Filmmaker as well on Instagram.
Okay, so this book, is it for sale?
Yes.
Okay. So
yes, I've only got
it's a beautiful
70
book.
Copies left now, so but I will have a box of them at the show on the 21st.
Okay, so where can we buy this apart from at the show? Can we buy it online?
DM me on any channel. That's the best way.
And can you hold it up again because I'm videoing you? Because it's absolutely beautiful, isn't it, boys? So yeah. We've got Bjorn and Steve in the studio. This is absolutely amazing. I know when I flew into Namibia, they had one of the tribesman at the airport standing in all his tribe gear with bare feet, and I was gobsmacked, you know, how they can walk like that. And it's quite amazing. And I don't think it was the sort of, maybe touristy, but he was probably meeting people. But it is, they do keep to their traditions, which I love.
The Maasai particularly do, and they're prevalent in Kenya and also in Tanzania, northern Tanzania. Mm. But, you know, walking with bare feet is easy for anybody if you just spend enough time walking in bare feet, you know, because your feet do actually
toughen up.
Toughen up and a little less reactionary to sharper objects or uneven objects or whatever, you know, underfoot.
And how can you spend time with them? How friendly are they? Do they welcome you into their tribe so you can spend time with them?
Oh, yeah. In the Maasai Mara, there's because they're pastoralists,
a pastoralist?
They herd cattle and
pasture.
They use the pastures to feed their cattle. So they are the one, there are a few tribes in Africa, but in East Africa, they're particularly renowned for their wilderness, the keeping of the wilderness areas. And the Maasai Mara and the northern Serengeti is preserved as a wilderness area. And as a result, it's the biggest population of remaining African wildlife because of that. So what happens now is that the tourist industry there contribute to the landowners, so the landowners, you know, are beginning to earn directly off tourism, whereas in the old days it went into central government and they
never saw a penny.
Yeah, never saw. But now that's changing, so there's all sorts of conservancies going on and so forth. So when you go and stay at a lodge in the Maasai Mara, a portion of your fee that you pay goes towards the landowners.
That's brilliant. So that's been a big change. And tell me about their diet. I'm very interested because you never see a
fat. Oh, here we go. Diets.
Well, you never. Well, you said that they're pasture, so they're keeping animals. You never see a tubby one. They're all slim and tall and slender. So they're eating meat, berries.
Well,
what are they eating?
They also have what they call in Swahili. It's called ugali, which is a maize flour.
Right.
Which they make into a bread-like block. They eat that. They eat fresh vegetables, particularly stuff like
They have cassava
kale.
Out there.
They have cassava as well.
Kale?
Kale. Wow. It's similar to kale, very, very similar to kale. And it's called, the Swahili word is sukuma wiki. And they
says it so well.
They have a good diet. Occasionally they'll eat meat.
Occasionally? Okay.
Yeah.
And do they have chickens and things? Because I can see the cows, but would they have eggs?
Traditionally, they wouldn't have chickens, no. It would just be cattle and goats or shoats. They are they're hardy sheep. They're not like sheep you'd see on Romney Marsh, but they're not goats as such. They're actually a mix.
Shoats.
They're called shoats. So very, very hardy animal. And nowadays there's goats as well.
So they'd have goat's milk?
They have goat's milk, yes, and cow's milk.
It's really interesting that their diet is so healthy. And these photos, Steve's just leafing through. It's absolutely beautiful, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, fantastic.
Amazing. We all want to go now. I long for Africa. I used to go all the time, and since the dreaded lockdowns, I've got out of the habit. And Tanzania is next on my list, definitely.
Well, I have to say, this book was published in 2008, I've got some left, but since my last exhibition in 2011, I've got photographs that I've taken in Africa that nobody has ever seen. And this was the one thing that Liz turned round to me and said, you've got to start showing some people. So that was of what was stimulated this show.
So let's give a shout out for Liz. It's Liz Harwood.
Liz Harwood. Yes.
And where can we find her?
I don't know what
apart from on your phone.
Is. Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what her Twitter handle is, but it's Liz Harwood on Instagram.
Okay. We'll find her artist. And then Hax is Hax Filmmaker on Twitter, and he is, as he said, on Instagram. Have you got a website?
For my photography, it's being built right now.
Okay, so brand new spanking. Oh, Steve's on the watering holes. He's got to the beautiful lioness and the elephant, African elephant. Oh, stunning, stunning.
Absolutely.
Oh, Paul's back. Hello.
I am.
Nice of you to pop in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A little bit of a technical issue there. Nothing to upset the broadcast, but it meant I couldn't do anything after this. My playout system.
We've had a lovely chat.
My playout system froze. But good. So looking forward to that, Hax.
Thank you.
We're going to come along and view your exhibition, and then I'm going to try and blag you into holding one at the Island Works.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Absolutely.
As long as you do some more of your bike-based vlogs as well, because I quite like those too.
Good. Thank you. And I will. We intend to.
Yeah. Nice one. Hax, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And pleasure to hear from you. We've got loads of tweets coming in still, and we've got two more guests to talk to in the second half of the show, so we're looking forward to that. I've had a tweet from Chips and Dinks, and this was earlier. So they said, stand by for action. 1 o'clock today on a Business Bunker. Jules is back. She's in the hot seat next to Vanilla Web. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be a memorable welcome back from Jules. Yeah, no, it's a bit of a damp squib, really.
Yeah. I've just been hearing about shoats from Hax.
About what?
Shoats.
Go on.
Yeah. Hax has told me.
Yeah, well, what are they? Go on,
tell
me.
You've got to guess. What's a shoat?
A shoat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little three-legged animal.
It's a hybrid of a goat and a sheep.
Yeah, it's a three-legged animal.
It's a tough sheep, toughened up sheep. It's a shoat.
It's got three long legs and one short leg, so it stands on mountainsides.
And Tracy Ferguson's a bit spooked because, they're all talking about potholes on our thing. And just popping up on her feed, BBC Radio Kent have said Kent County Council is preparing to spend £3.6 million of extra cash to tackle a pothole backlog.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just popped time. Up.
If they'd have done it in the first place, they wouldn't have to keep finding money to repair the massive damage that's done already.
I know. Well, I was saying that I saw that picture that Dan Juby, and I said it's a reservoir, which we need because of all the building that's going on all around Whitstable, where I am. Because if we get 3 days of sunshine, we get a hose pipe ban.
That's correct.
And my water butts now are brimming. I've got 3 water butts. They are absolutely overflowing. But I don't need to water my garden now. So, you know, but in summer, when I do need to water a garden, there's no water. We have hosepipe bands. Come on, Steve, I know you want to say
well,
something.
Well, you've got some water in your water butts.
Yeah, but, so well, I can keep it. Yeah, I've got 3 water butts overflowing. What I do, though, is I take it in for my indoor plants because they quite like, you know, don't want tap water, do they?
Oh, don't they?
No. And I've got a water softener. So you can't water them, your plants with water softener because it's salt.
Well, I think you know more about houseplants than I do.
Yeah, you don't look like the houseplant type to me.
Well,
I can't
I have a
see
houseplant.
You. Do you one?
Yeah.
Is it a spider plant?
It's a yucca.
Oh, yucca. Yeah, you can't kill them.
It's doing, is that right?
Yeah. Have
that's
you?
Good to know. No. Not yet.
How old is your yucca?
Oh.
Or yucca?
Well, I suppose about 5-6 years now. So
oh, you've done well.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Do you give it a little bit of baby bio now?
No, I don't redo really anything.
Do you never retop the soil?
You do what?
Retop the soil. Do you ever take it outside?
No.
For a little walk?
It's a yucca plant.
They can go out. They're hardy.
They're hardy.
They can go out, can they?
Yeah.
Take it out. For a car
round
drive.
The town.
Yeah.
I think Hacks might know. Can you eat yucca? Don't they in Africa eat yucca, or am I mixing it with cassava? I don't know.
Do you know what? I don't know.
I've got a feeling you can.
Probably the base, not the leaves, but the base.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know that I make, because I don't eat really grains and things for my thyroid, and I make really nice pancakes with cassava flour.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. Really nice. Very nice.
Lovely. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I'll make you one day.
Yeah, please. One day. She keeps threatening.
Yeah.
Changing the subject completely and totally, mm-hmm. Crouch House Candles have been on. And they say, we'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please. Vanilla Webb,
new followers, aren't they?
Yeah. We'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please. Vanilla Webb, that's me, and Jill Sirkin, that's her, for our team at Crouch House Co. We make luxury hand-poured soy wax candles in the lovely town of Edenbridge in Kent. That's over near Seven Oaks, isn't it? We're looking forward to listening to the rest of the show. So thank you for that.
Did you see my reply?
No, go on.
Well, my reply.
I did, about you blocking your sink
it's
with
awful,
wax.
It's awful. It's awful. So what happened was...
excuse me. Listen.
Yeah.
You called a plumber to sort that out.
No, it's a long story, but we've got 2 minutes, haven't we, till the news. So I'll just tell you. So Mimi and Shay, my son and daughter-in-law, bought me 2 years ago a beautiful scented candle. Don't know if it was soy, but it was a natural one. Lovely scent. Finished it after 2 years, and then I realised it was in a lovely glass vasey thing. So I thought, right. So the bottom of the wax, I went to the sink and I washed it out with very boiling water. And that has now clogged the whole sink. So I went to B&Q on Sunday, being a resourceful sort of bird, and bought some acid stuff, chucked it down, and all it did, because I had the washing machine on, it's a utility room, and it was overflowing on the floor. So I had to turn the washing machine off, ran to B&Q, put the acid down, had to bail out the hot water from the washing machine. Then I had poured in the acid and it just sat there. And this acid said it's going to get rid of everything, you know, but it doesn't get rid of wax. So then I thought, okay, bail out the acid, which is very difficult because it's acid. Then I thought I'll pour boiling water down, and I've got a hot tap, which doesn't really get as hot as a kettle, but I chucked down loads of boiling water and that just sat there. New husband was in London on Monday, so I didn't see him. It stuck there, couldn't use the washing machine. And now, this morning, he's just texted me, said he's taken off the S-bend and tried, and he says, no, can't do it, he's got to get a plumber. And you can't get a plumber in Whitstable.
Blimey.
What would you do?
Well, that was
a wax candle that I have... luckily, it's a utility room and not my kitchen, because I would be in... But the dog's very upset, because that's where I wash her bowls.
How did you manage to block an entire plumbing system with a candle?
Wax.
Melted wax.
Yeah, wax.
Yeah, no, I heard that. But
wax,
I mean,
rhymes with hacks.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I was only washing it out and
well, what's it made of? You know, I mean, surely it should just melt when you put boiling water on it.
Well, let's see if they answer me, the candle people, because they might know. Yeah, well, the thing is, there's acid in there first. Like, it's the whole bottle of acid. and then I poured hot water on, and of course the acid is cold, and it was a terrible. Oh, and the washing machine was leaking all over the floor. I had to put towels down, and awful. Plus, my dogs are also upset. Not just about that, where I wash her bowls, Greyhound, Steve. I tried to cut her claws, and she's rescued. She's been very badly treated. Before
you got
I had
30
her.
Seconds to finish the
I
story.
I tried to trim her claws, and she screamed and ran off with her tail between her legs, shaking from head to foot. And I hadn't cut her quick. I'm not silly. And she then hid for 48 hours with her tail between her legs, shaking from head to foot, and wouldn't talk to me.
Dogs don't like it, do they? My dog won't have its nails cut. They're complete wimps.
It's ridiculous. And I was giving her treats.
It doesn't hurt or anything.
No.
They just go,
No, no. And greyhounds are drama queens. She's coming round yours soon.
No, she's
Darcy.
Not.
Yeah, she's been invited.
They're not allowed.
Yeah, Amanda's invited her.
I don't care.
Yeah. Without you. I mean, you can go out.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to have a break. We have some music and some adverts, and when we come back, we're going to talk to